Hello, it's Josh here, producer of MDX Unplugged, unfiltered, unscripted, university life. In today's episode, we'll be talking social media, influencers, and of course, law with Zara, an alumni student turned entrepreneur who runs her own marketing agency. Enjoy.
So I know what the question everybody's having seen the last episode. Why is Tanura and Coach Farhan wearing the exact same outfit?
This is my uniform. What do you mean?
Okay, this is not my... Well, this is also partially my uniform. But I think everybody's wondering why. And I will tell you why. I don't know.
They haven't showered.
Skill issue.
Probably one of these answers.
But, ladies and gentlemen...
Welcome back to another episode of MDX Unplugged, unfiltered, uncensored university life. I am one of your co-hosts, Tanura, joined by my great co-host.
Coach Farhan, three episodes in. Let's get it.
Exactly.
We're cooking.
We haven't been canceled yet, so yay. So today we are taking a different turn. We saw a bit of dance. We saw a bit of sports. Today, we're talking some marketing and law.
Absolutely. Marketing.
And who is going to be presenting it? A student that did neither of those things. I'm kidding. Today's episode, we are joined by Zara Tasnim. She is a first class honors degree holder of LLB Law with... Or just LLB Law?
LLB Law.
Just LLB Law.
Just LLB Law.
But on side of being a top law student, she also runs her own marketing agency called The Socialite. So thank you for coming on.
Thank you guys for having me.
Let's get it.
So the first thing we need to address about law students is time. You see, timing is a very key skill that everyone should have after they graduate. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, why?
What time were we supposed to start this?
I don't know. I wasn't told.
I'm an entrepreneur.
So there's certain things I also need to go and...
This isn't Shark Tank, okay? You cannot defend yourself here.
Do you wake up at 3:30 in the morning?
I wake up at 5.
5, oh,
do you put ice in a bowl of water with some lemon, specifically Saratoga?
Yeah, and then have 20 pills.
Exactly.
20 pills of what? Oh, I'm very concerned now.
Undisclosed 20 pills.
Okay, well, assume they're vitamins.
Supplements, health supplements, guys.
Thank you so much for coming on, Zara. I know you, considering your schedule, we really appreciate having you here. And we'll just kick things right off. The first thing I want to address is The Socialite, your marketing agency. Like, I think I've known you for about 3 coming to 4 years now.
Yeah. Pretty much from the start of uni, I think.
Yeah. And I originally knew you just as like another law student that did like the competitions and stuff. But when I found out that you run your own marketing agency, and bear in mind, I don't know how humble you want to be, but I'm not being humble in any way, shape, or form. It's growing at a very exponential rate. Like, what was your thought process entering uni, doing one of the most toughest degrees, and deciding to do one of the most saturated things in the UAE, which is a marketing agency?
I mean, if I'm being quite frank, when I started off the marketing agency, there was a part of me that knew that I could do it better than a lot of the agencies here. And that was solely because I had worked in so many agencies during my undergrads. Because there's a part of me that is very creative, compared to the side of law, which is, you know, a bit more theoretical, more systematic. But I didn't want to let the creative side of me go during the entire process of it. So while I was working in those marketing agencies, I realized how incompetent a lot of my bosses were when it came to...
I mean, to be fair, she has a point, because so many, like, what do you say, clients, they're quite incompetent, but they're quite, like, unrealistic demands and whatnot. They kind of expect, like, for them, social media... they'll give 10 people's job to one person. It's still like a culture over here. I don't understand why.
Exactly.
I mean, you'd also have that perspective because you, I mean, it's not your job, but like you do content creation as well. So you kind of have
that
side of things.
Outside coaching, this is what I do, my content creation. I work with brands and all of that. So when you have that skills, you can, okay, some people can do different multiple tasks, like content creating, managing, calendar, whatnot. But when it's like, when you have like an agency with like, I don't know, 10 plus 20 companies you need to run, it's not that easy. You need like have a proper team.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I just don't understand why so many clients over here will be like, oh, it's easy. Social media, it's an intern's job. And I was like, it is not.
It really isn't. Because I think a lot of the agency runners or owners here are still stuck in the traditional form of marketing and how it used to be. So they still haven't properly captured how social media marketing works, even if they claim that they understand how it
works. That's something I've always wanted to pay attention on. It's like, if you think about social media marketing, the way we like consumed content before 2020, was it prior to COVID, 2020, how we consumed it, and now how we consumed it. Almost 5-6 years ago, you can go get away with being very formalized, very corporate. But now, because we were all like under a lockdown situation for at least minimum, I'd say 1 year to 2 years based on where you lived in, everything we consume has basically shifted from being super formal to super fun.
Yeah, and I think most companies, they still haven't realized that, like, okay, it's okay to be super fun.
Exactly.
This is how you're going to engage content with the trends, with the music. But there are some companies who go like, we can't do this. We have to be very formal, very corporate, so we can show it off to other prospects. I was like, again, if you're not sticking with the trend, that's the whole social media game.
Yeah.
I think Gen Z is the perfect people to run this. Like, you can't,
because we grew up with social media, so we know how it works. We know what we would like to consume and what others would end up liking as well.
And it's very easy thing as well to build in views, engagement. It's very easy. It's not that hard. But loads of companies think like, how do we increase views? What do we do? I was like, it's very simple. It's over there.
For the record, by the way, these two combined will probably equal to just over 9,000 followers across two different forms of social media platform, aka Instagram. So you have two experts right here.
I mean, again, I've worked with brands and it's very easy. Like, I've made them give like millions of views and all. It's not that hard. Like, how do you do it? Just simple. It's very simple things. The hook, the content, etc., etc.
It's like a general blueprint which you have to follow. And sometimes you just think out of the box. Like when I told my client a few months ago that, hi, you're going to be hit by a car and then the t-shirt's going to come on the ground. And he was like, what? Yeah. And I was like, we're going to hit you with the car and then the t-shirt's going to be on the ground. And he was like, you know what? Yeah, sure. Why not? And that video ended up generating like so many more views than some of the other.
So did you hit him with the car?
Yes. He's okay, though. It was like a little touch-ish. Okay.
Final Destination. Let's get it.
We're basically just giving a blueprint to what Final Destination is going to look like. Speaking of which, I want to deviate from the topic for a bit because I want to understand something with you. Is like, one thing I've noticed about how you design, like, let's say, content or you pitch ideas is that, like you mentioned, they're out of the box. And I guess to a lot of people, with your style of how you've done it, considering how long I've known you, it can be, to a degree, some might even say extreme.
Yeah.
So one thing I wanted to ask is, when it comes to pitching an extreme idea, what's like the first thought that goes through your head? Because to a traditional person, they'll just be like, no, that is absolutely bonkers.
I think to make someone accept a crazy idea, you have to make it seem like you yourself know that it's crazy. So I usually open it up with I know you're not going to like this, and it is a bit crazy, and it might cost you a little bit money, but this is how much we can generate with it. So I usually like to start off with statistics before I go into the content idea of it, because I know if I open it with the content, instant no. But if I can show the back data on it, if it's like something that has been created already, or it has been done in some other country and it did quite well, then you look at the UAE audience, and if you can write it out on how they will receive or reciprocate with that content, then you can get anyone to pretty much agree with anything.
So it's just basically like your
manipulation.
Don't want to use the word, but yeah, it's kind of
manipulation, guys. That's social media.
I guess corporate manipulation just exists in anything you're going to do. Like, whether you want to be like a very formal company or if you want to be a lot more fun, there's going to be some form of, by definition, corporate manipulation. But I guess also that's how it's like playing the game, basically, right?
Yeah, marketing is essentially corporate manipulation, right? Like, back in the day, sure, it was a bit more traditional. But nowadays, the more you can trick people into watching your, like, hooks. Have you seen those TikToks, which just, they're never ending because you don't know when it starts? That's corporate manipulation too, right?
That's true, that's very
bad. And you'll just be looking at it going like, okay, when's it coming up? Or sometimes they'll go like,
I am a victim to this.
They're like, here are my top three tips. They never show you the tips. It's all in the caption. Yeah. So then you're stuck reading the caption. The video's playing. They're generating.
And it's more runtime as well. So.
Yeah, it's literally you're getting more and more hours on a single 30-second clip, which is stalking for 20 minutes.
And that's how the algorithm works. Because if you're on that video for long, then they know, like, oh, there's something enticing. The algorithm wouldn't know if it's interesting or if it's a boring.
Yeah, I've done it. It works.
Exactly. It works. It works. It really does work.
Literally, we're getting all the proof that we need right now.
Easy.
But talking about, like, in terms of, I guess, for lack of better terms, manipulating the algorithm.
Jesus, okay.
We're going to focus on this. Let's be realistic. Whether you're...
Are we in a psychology podcast?
I don't know anymore.
Hey, man, law marketing, not psychology.
You have a law student with a marketing agency. You got a marketing graduate with a coaching background. You have a business student that's virtually done anything that finds interesting. So this is just the scope of discussion here is bigger than this table at this point.
Let's get it.
But yeah, so talking about, let's say, about manipulating the algorithm, and I want both of you guys to pitch in based on, let's say, from corporate side, but also from your personal accounts, because you guys also do make your own content. Is how important do you think it is to truly manipulate the algorithm? Do you think it's like a necessity, or do you think it's more like, it's a fine line? What do you think?
I think it's a fine line. Each account on Instagram is boosted in a different way because the algorithm pushes certain contents for one account doesn't mean it will push for the other. So for example, right, whenever I sign on a client, I always give them like a 3-month time. And I tell them that during this time period, we're going to try and do as many types of content as we can. So there will be disruptive. There will be some trendy ones. There will be some which are very formal, which you guys can go ahead and add to your corporate portfolios. And there will be some which are so simple, it will make no sense at all. Like you pick up a spoon, the spoon has a message. That's it. That's the video. So stuff like there's stupid marketing, there's disruptive marketing, then there's some which are more informative, more corporate, however you want to name it. So you have to test out each account before you decide what will suit which. So it is a fine line. Yeah. You never know what would, if you run a clothing brand, maybe really professionally high-end video shots will do great. But on the other end, there could be a clothing brand in which, you know, like my client gets hit by a car, that video does better than any of the other professionally high edit shots that we did for
him. I can't get over the client gets hit by a car.
It's too He's funny. Alive. It's okay.
No, she has a point, because when it comes to creating content, I'm more on like the professional side of thing, like professional shots and whatnot. Because again, filmmaking is more of my thing outside of this. But then I realized, okay, how do I add the cinematic aspect and to hook them into the whole thing? So I think recently I've tried like an experiment. Okay, let's try the Travis Scott thing. Let's try to follow a meme, but shoot in a high production value and show it off. So it's like a blend. So some companies will work professionally, but it wouldn't hit any views, nothing, because again, it's not relatable. It's not part of a trend. Yeah. So getting that together in, I would say like an interesting combo, but it's just like to understand, okay, what can work? Like, can you incorporate? It needs a bit of brainstorming, but it's not impossible to work around with it.
Like it goes for any niche and any category, I believe.
Pretty much. Yeah. Even with like traveling videos, I've tried, okay, I know if I do the normal generic travel videos, which is done through iPhone or whatever, like if there's no cinematics or shots, I know so many accounts wouldn't be into it. But if you professionally shoot it, all the tourist
it's like giving,
accounts
giving
would be like, yeah, you know what?
This actually layer,
the extra layer. Yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, for example, right? So I can't disclose for which club or who we had shot for. But
NDAs, guys. That's her lawyer side coming out.
NDAs.
But we had one shot this football match here in which the world's, in my opinion, best player was featured in it. And that had to be shot cinematically.
What's like, not now. We're not having this argument.
I didn't say
now.
Anything. I didn't say now. Anything.
Continue.
Sorry.
And it had to be shot cinematically. So while that was shot cinematically, and we did that, because that works for this region, in the same like niche, you have America, right, with their baseball players. They're like in a costume, they're jumping off, they're doing these dances on the field as they're running across. That generates insane views for them. And if you look into it, that also led to an increase in ticket sales because people liked filming them as they were doing it. Like, they wanted to be a part of that experience. So like he said, it's really like you never know what would end up kicking off.
Fair enough. I mean, hey, I'm just a guy that Doom posts on his stories anything he wants to post. So like, I don't really
you know what frustrates me of so many influencers over here? It's just like they got great following. Okay, at first you can make some mid quality content and you get an audience, but then they don't elevate in terms of like, let's shoot it professionally. They'll probably shoot it professionally if it's like some corporate stuff or like something they paid for, but like you have the outlet. Why don't you just showcase more? Even if it's like a simple traveling video or like a vlog or like anything.
Basically put effort into it.
Yeah, and even products as well. You could think a lot. You could try learning out. But so many, they don't. They just stagnant. They just do the same content. And they
stick to the free version of CapCut.
Exactly.
Sometimes they leave the logo
there.
The logo
over there. And it would only cost
made
like,
in CapCut.
It would only cost like, that's the thing. It would only cost like 10 dirhams per month. That's peanuts.
$19.99 now.
$9.99. It's still
that's
cheap.
That's like one brand deal or less than that.
Yeah, actually, yeah, you know, for a lot of people, that actually fair. You can take the heat.
Yeah, it's 100. You're going to go spend that in Hardee's anyway. Get CapCut.
See,
they know.
Literally. So I just don't understand why influencers keep sticking it. Or they might, okay, this video works well. I'm going to make 10,000 sequels of the same idea. This is kind of frustrating. Like, there's nothing new into it.
Touching on that then, I guess from your perspective as either a... Oh, bring it closer. All right, sorry guys. Josh behind the cam. If you once again, this wouldn't be possible without the main man Josh informing me. I have to get closer to the mic. Thanks, Josh. Don't worry, guys. The Josh revelations will be coming soon. They will be making an appearance. But yeah,
just like GTA 6.
Dunes Day. Anyways, touching on like what you said about like content creators here in the UAE. Like I mentioned at the start, and I hope you didn't take offense to it, me saying that marketing agencies in the UAE is pretty saturated.
Oh, no offense at all. It's very true.
Yeah.
Every Jack, Joe, and Jill has a marketing agency.
Every influencer at this point has a...
But they don't know anything, but they have an agency.
They have an agency, yeah.
That's like saying,
And then they'll put their own portfolio for their portfolio list to show it all.
Exactly. I don't know how to make a website sponsored by Wix.com.
It's happened a lot of times. Like whenever I've taken on a client, because now particularly I'm focusing more on the luxury clientele. Okay. And whenever I take them on, they go like, oh, wow, you actually know what you're doing. Or when I send them a strategy, they Smart. Go like, oh, you've actually sent us the strategy. Because a lot of the agencies, they tell you, I'm going to give you a marketing strategy and we'll create content. Mm. Then they just jump in with their camera. They're like, yeah, we know what we're doing. Trust me, bro.
So basically nothing written down, just like, hey, I'm here.
Exactly. But whenever like we start off, I have a whole week and a half onboarding process. I think okay. I had told you about that as well. So in that week and a half is when, while they onboard, I create the strategy, like me and the other two social media.
So more like a consultation.
More or less. So when they, one of them is a questionnaire, which I tell them to send first. Mm-hmm. When they send back that questionnaire, we incorporate that into the strategy. And that strategy is a 3-month phase-to-phase breakdown. And I tell them that, okay, this is what we'll do. But the strategy might change by the end of each month if we think this is something that's not working.
So it's kind of like you're laying out the framework that will work and in a way trying to be flexible to the client.
Yeah, because everything needs a blueprint. Like you can't build a building without having a blueprint, right? You can't just throw cement and be like, yep, that's my heart.
I mean, if this was Minecraft, we can make the argument.
Minecraft, you also need to spend time building it.
Fair. Continue. Damn, my gaming knowledge has been
You see those killer builds? Yeah, those take time.
I know, don't worry.
Unless you want to be like a grass.
If anybody wants to join my Hypixel, I'll put it in the comments.
Nobody
we need
does.
Logins.
Nobody
I don't
does.
Think nobody's going to play.
Hey, nobody
guys,
does.
It's still a good game. Come on.
It's a good game. No one is denying that. Like we're not going to play it just for you.
That's a bit harsh. But yeah. Anyways, sorry.
I don't know what I have to say.
Jesus Christ, man.
Then no, it's okay. So...
Okay, you were talking about like being a blueprint on how the marketing agency can think structured.
Yeah, so that is just one example, right? Of like every Jack, Joe, and Joe opening up a marketing agency here. So they don't give you a strategy. They'll tell you, okay, we'll come from content. Then they show up with like, if you're lucky, a DJI Osmo and an iPhone, right? Otherwise, they will just show up with an iPhone and be like,
this is what we're doing.
Whoops.
But even then, like I've seen loads of like they'll have. You can do so much wonders with iPhone like,
if you know how to set it right.
Yeah.
If you can do, because there's so many times where we've had to like shoot a gym, right?
Yeah.
And inside the gym, there'll be like no professional equipment, right? So that's when my videographer, he like attaches these things to the iPhone. He starts filming, and when we give it to the client, they're like, "No way, this is shot on an iPhone."
Nah, guys.
So you just
I'll
need
tell
to
you
know
why
how
they
to
say
do
that.
It.
Because they have never experienced using a Samsung.
Tenura, please. We don't.
Listen, okay. Guys, Samsung has improved. We can defend the Android powers.
No, she has a point. Like most agencies or most content creators, even you can do so many wonders with iPhone. Like I've recently found out crazy things with it. But it's like they don't put in the effort. Even if you're like a big corporate client or whatever it may be, they don't put in the work. as a content creator as well. And I'm just like, what is going on? What do you do in your free time? Don't you just like expand that, the creation side of things?
If we stay on like, if we look at like how, there's clearly like from how you've seen it, because if you don't mind me saying, you kind of have experience on both ends of the coin, because you run a marketing agency, but in your past life, you were all...
Past life,
but even returning to
before
the life.
Before, I lost like 4,000 followers for not being active.
Oh, that's crazy.
That's on you, though. Like, it's not... No one told you to stop posting on your Instagram. Like,
you know what's crazy? I have like 20 videos that are ready to be posted. I just don't.
Exactly. For example, let me just explain something to everybody. She has a very strong following, very good reach. The amount of days it took me to convince her to try and reach out to get invited for the Lilo and Stitch premiere was annoying. Now, I had to beg her, just message, just email something small.
Don't worry, he's done the exact same thing to me, so now I'm going to premiere tomorrow.
Exactly. Nice. As well, I am standing between two people. Now, as a person that is irrelevant on the social sphere, I'm standing between two people that I can get easy access to premieres from.
Okay. No, I feel like it's more of... So, I'm not too on the whole influencer thing, because on how corny and typecast they can get, especially over here, like, they're generally... There's, like, I don't know, 3-4 of them. Like, every single ad is just them, and I just can't stand it.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Unfunny, and it's mostly kids actually eating up their engagement, more or less. They're very unfunny. Like, I don't understand.
Some of them are, like, over 30, 40.
30, 40. I was like, you need to stop.
Yeah.
You're in your unk status now.
The thing is, talking on that, if you don't mind, sorry to interrupt you guys, but talking on that, for you as a running your marketing agency, do you think, because of how like the outreach and everything works, specifically in the UAE, do you think that influencers are a bigger competition to you as a marketing agency?
Absolutely not.
Compared to like bigger agencies?
So. Absolutely not.
Do you think you'll just smoke them out of the water without any problems?
Any day. Because see, I think I can count in my hand how many influencers' content is actually good quality content.
Good quality content, exactly.
And there's been a lot of times where, like, you know, they...
Shit.
Where, like, a company has come forward and gone, like, can you suggest some influencers? And we gave them some of the best ones in the market that we're in contact with. And they go, like, yeah, no.
Yeah, but they would just... We want that.
So they're looking at the follower count or the actual content.
No, they're looking at American influencers.
Oh, okay.
Expecting that kind of content to be present here in the Middle East.
We don't have that kind of facilities.
Now, like, see, there are so many good influencers here, right? Like, do you guys know my parents are divorced?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, like his videos always organically do really well.
Okay.
And people know him by face. They know him like... He's funny. He's one of the influencers. I can just be like, yeah, you know what? This is funny guy.
You can watch the entire reel without swiping halfway.
Exactly. And it's appealing to all ages.
Yeah.
Right? And there's also like Khalid and Salama. There's another couple as well. I don't know if you guys know them.
Same name. I mean, if I hear the account name, I'm probably going to...
Over here or from the US?
Here.
I'm not...
She just recently gave birth to a kid. Like, they are quality content as well.
Okay.
They've been like, people follow them. Mm. And they're... A lot of the influencers here, they'll have like 200,000 followers. You're like, wow, that's so cool. Look at your likes. 200 likes.
Yeah, this has been the biggest problem over influencers over here, because most people who get invited for these events and whatnot, when you really look at the engagement, I'm just like... This is barely anything. Like, I have very small... I would consider myself micro, but
yeah.
I have way more engagement than these guys. Like, what makes them so special? And it's bizarre as well. The content won't...
It sounds like it's just... Like you guys mentioned earlier, it's just lack of adaptation from them.
I feel like it's
more... No, it's bot followers.
It's more of like educating yourself when it comes to how the metrics work. A lot of people are like, oh, followers. Okay, cool. Like, that's not the only thing. How we sell the brand kind of works.
But then, like, I won't class her in this. I'll class myself alone. I guess someone like me, I wouldn't... To study metrics and stuff like that is not going to be a concern. But if you're an agency, if you are an influencer as a full-time post, that is mandatory.
Yeah, agency, influencer, you have to learn, because people can easily catch up on what you're doing.
And there's been way too many times where a company, like, despite us telling them don't go for influencers, they went for it, spent so much money paying them, because their payments are crazy. And you pay them and they posted up a content, they're like, we generated no sales.
Because in the end, even if you get like 10 views, but if it generates 3 sales, 4, like there you go.
I feel like this episode just turned into like a how to be an influencer slash how to be an actual marketing agency case.
So
completely taking this into a very serious tone.
2 years ago, my thesis was pretty much roasting influencers. I took like, I don't know, 15 influencers.
And gentlemen, if you would like this paper to be published, let us know in the comment section below.
15K words of just roasting them. I did interview like a couple of
them. Oh, this was your master's thesis?
Yes. Okay. And they're quite big now, by the way, so...
So I think for legal purposes, I'm going to retract the publishing rights.
Don't.
I don't think I want to see him like just get kicked.
Because I interviewed this influencer. Then she's like, what is exactly about? I'm just roasting you guys. So more or less said. And how it's not working over here at all with this influencer.
I mean, that's on her for not asking what it's about.
I mean, hey, I want my degree, man. My second degree.
Listen, if you agree to take part in an academic research, you need to understand, no holds barred. Like,
literally.
I really feel, let's be realistic. I feel like when it comes to academics, when it comes to research, there is more unfiltered in that than this right now. Like, our jobs
It's a more respectful manner. Okay, you know, why this doesn't work, XYZ and all of that. But yeah,
basically
but
diplomatic, you know.
More or less. That's the thing with influencers over here. I just find they're recurring every single ad. Like whenever I'm scrolling through Instagram or wherever it may be, they're unfunny. They're just doing it for the money at this point. Like there's no creative flair into it at all. Some of the smaller creatives I can see they're putting in the effort, even if they want to start their own sandwich shop or whatever it may be. But I can see it. You can, as an artist, you can clearly see.
Hold on. Time out. Sorry, just want to deviate for a second. Why'd you focus on a sandwich shop?
I'm not going to name it why. I can't name drop it.
I know, but like... Brother,
no, there's a creator launching it, so...
Okay. Oh, a sandwich shop. Very specific.
Very specific, yeah.
Very specific.
Yeah, and we are posting this on the internet, so the research bots will be...
He's already big, so it's fine. So okay. Yeah, so it's not like...
It's like free publicity for him.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You should thank us. You'd pay us.
But yeah, we have a small...
You and I both know they won't pay us. We're lucky if we even get an ad posted on this thing, bro.
But yeah, now we have all these small impressionable kids just making these guys so funny and every single content I've seen,
I will say this though. One thing I like specifically about the current generation of like, let's say, between the ages of 12 and above that consume these content.
12
like,
and above
12
is
and above is insane.
Fine.
Insane.
That's an insane bar.
Fine. 9 and above.
I mean, to be...
9 and above.
I mean, to be fair, my brother watches garbage as well, so...
Yeah, they say stuff like...
Roasting family up
they say I stuff like Skibidi. How are you including them with us?
Skibidi toilet.
Okay, those kind of brain rot is okay. Yeah. I would rather watch that brain rot than some of the influencers over here.
Okay, but... Okay,
can't.
Okay, let's say... Young adults, okay? Late teenagers. Okay, we'll classify that category, okay? If you want me to be...
Youthful people. Let's not put an age.
Remember that?
No, I don't.
Okay, so youth. Okay, we'll say youth. I feel like at least now, personally, I don't know about you guys, because, I mean, you guys are the experts compared to me. Like, in the last couple of months, let's say about a year, youth is becoming a lot more in tune as to understanding, like, okay, I know you're a content creator, you're making this content, but what the hell? Like, it doesn't make sense. I feel like they're getting more in tune to understand, like, yeah, okay, they might have, let's say, 400 comments on a reel, but almost 200, 250 of those comments is literally them explaining slash roasting, like, yo, you're not doing what I want to watch. I'm just here to tell you that you're going to get washed up. Like quick. So I feel like now at least they're starting to understand a bit more, which is kind of in a way a good thing.
I mean, they thrive off on hate.
Yeah, that's also there.
As you say, any publicity.
It's good publicity, yeah.
So even if it's good or bad, it's still engagement.
But you will see now.
I mean, they tried it with certain movies, tried to go with that. It didn't work out though.
Oh, but you'll see now people prefer working with more micro-influencers than with major influencers. Because micros, they actually give you that organic growth, that organic content.
Fine. You got a chance. Come
and
on. You got some chance.
Yeah, even if you have like...
I mean, yeah, I did. Now my food is free, so there you go.
Yeah.
Like, they literally sponsoring like, you know what? Make dope content. We'll give you food for free.
He was like, officially taken out like a quarter of his salary has been saved now.
Literally. I mean, it's a big brand as well, so why not?
Hey man, you know what? Get a meal plan, you're sorted.
You're sorted.
You know what that means, food. Guys? After this episode, dinner on Coach for Holland.
No. I take everything back. Yeah.
Oh man. But no, like, it is a, I guess you could say it's also like a refreshing take, because personally for me, like, I kind of understood that, okay, I never really found out why a lot of specific influencers or specific agencies were always reused over and over again. And for me, minus all the brain rot that was just lured out over here, it was kind of refreshing to see that, oh, this is the perspective that a lot of us don't see. So if I guess one of my final questions to you would be is that, specifically when you work with, let's say, clients, or even like if you work with influencers that give you the same generic ideas or details that they want to produce, what's your way of tackling them and being like, no, if this was 10 years ago when BlackBerry was a thing, it would have worked, but now we're in the times of iOS, please listen to me. How would you explain to them, like, it doesn't work, this is what you have to go with instead?
Yeah, so at that point, see, the thing with influencers is they are quite argumentative when it comes to their own content.
Shade.
Not all of them are very easy to work with, and that's frankly the truth.
Super shade.
A lot of them will ask for payment before they even produce
triple
anything.
Triple shade. Then Roger's letter complete.
You and I both know this connects to so many people right now.
But that's
absolutely.
That's why I just don't give them the chance. I tell them, hey, will you agree to this? Do you want to shoot for this client? Here's the budget. And they go like, no, I need 2,000 more. I say, okay, bye. And I dip.
So it's a one. It's
2 days later, they will text me and go like, hey, you know what? I will be in town at this time, so I can do it. No worries. And you know how our moms would like haggle in a shop and walk away while looking back? That's what you need to do with an influencer, right? And then after that, they will text you. And once they agree, I just send them a PDF file, which has do's, don'ts, and what our target is. And I tell them, please create content based on this. And I send them an agreement which says that if you don't stick to what has been sent to you, then no payment gets issued. We don't even take your video. So just don't give them a chance. If it's something which is like a very, you know, to the point type of influencer campaign.
This is the most South Asian play ever, but I love it.
Yeah, if it's a to the point campaign, right? Because sometimes they are, if you are working with a luxury brand or a sportswear brand like Nike, Adidas, whatever it is, you need to be more on par with what they require. You can't just come on the camera, like eat a cookie and then dress up. Like that won't work for Nike, you know?
Because you also you have to also make content that represents the brand.
Exactly. So in that case, you have to be a bit more, strict with what they push out. But if it's a more chiller brand, like I tell them, hey, they want to like showcase their ice creams. Okay. Do you want to do it? They go like, yeah. I go like, okay, here, take it, create whatever you want. And I leave it at that. So it depends from company to company and what the item is.
That makes a lot. That's like, I mean, yeah. I guess that's also like in general with anything you do as a project, that has to be the number one thing, respecting the values of who you're working with or who you're creating the content for at least. Like in the way, if you don't mind me taking We Are MDX Sports as an example.
Go ahead. My like, brainchild.
This is literally like, I'm using your account.
No, go ahead.
Your account's example is the sense that when it, if I'm not mistaken, at first, the sports contents you were making, they weren't as cinematic. But then the one content, the minute you realize that people want to see fat, a bit of more fast pace, a bit more like those quick edits and quick changes, that's when you realize, okay, this is going to be the brand that identifies VRB Exports.
Just don't stick to CapCut templates, thank you. Because that's another issue I found out, like so many brands and companies, they kind of use a template. I know this, like this is a template. Okay, you can use template, but you have to put more effort in making sure it doesn't feel like a template.
Yeah.
Which I feel like so many sports accounts, like after like a more of a ripple effect, they made accounts for their own universe. Absolutely great. But the biggest difference is the quality of the content. Like, yes, we both are using iPhone, but the biggest difference, like, they're using templates. There's no creative thought process into it. And for us, we kind of thrive because it's good to look at or, like, it's engaging and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's just like you put a template, I'll just throw some random clips and it's like,
not gonna lie, the way you're framing it, it just sounds like how I make my own reels for my Instagram. It's just like...
Listen, that's your personal account.
Yeah, I just go on Instagram, like, I go into reels, this one, let's do it.
Yeah, but it's not a business account.
Yeah, so it's not a formal thing. Yeah, it's just doom posting.
It's an individual, yeah.
But yeah, I think, do you think there's anything else you want to... address? I do have one more question, but I want to see if you're the expert, that's why.
I'm the expert. No, I mean,
compared to me, like, dude.
I think you can go ahead with this one. Should be fine. Or something might come in the towards the end.
Nah, because I'm just going to ask a very out-of-pocket question to close the episode. So if there's something legit we got to ask right now, that's the perfect time.
Go ahead.
Okay, yes. So, Zara, important, defining question. For Han is dreading it. Josh is just waiting for the day to be done. Yeah, it's like, oh yeah, we gotta start packing up to go home as well. Final question I think I'm gonna ask you is, will you watch Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning, or Sinners in cinema soon? Because I'm gonna say this out loud for everyone to hear. I wanna do an episode talking about movies. And I need to find out this, because Josh, I know you don't have a mic on you, but you're answering this question as well. Because we're going to close this on a fun bang. What do you, like, in sense, like, in the next couple of months, top three movies you're going to watch right now? Let's hear it. Go.
Mission Impossible, The Conjuring, Avatar.
Conjuring, I forgot it's a film's coming out.
The third one was pathetic, honestly.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah. The first two were amazing. And then
that one wasn't good, but I'm hopeful about this one because it's the final closing one.
Oh, really? It's the final one?
Yeah, it's the final
one. But is James Wan coming and directing the...
I don't think so.
If that's not the case, then I don't have much of hopes.
I'm not sure.
Because James Wan really knows how to make horror movies. That's the reason why he kind of excels with the Insidious movies.
Insidious is really...
Nope, and Saw 1.
It's Michael Chavez.
Yeah, we are doomed. So nah, I have no hope.
But yeah, with that being said, with the completely...
But then, what is your three movies?
Well, I've already watched one of them.
Okay, Mission Impossible.
Which is Final Reckoning. The two upcoming that I'm excited for is the James Gunn Superman.
Okay.
No, it's the James...
Okay, I'll give it a shot. Like, absolutely.
James Gunn Superman is one. And Wicked Part 2.
Wicked! I forgot about Wicked. Yeah.
Against you specifically, I defend the Wicked film from last year to the highest.
I never said it was bad. It's not like a Barbie situation. So
it's not Barbie. Do not...
exactly.
Barbie was fun.
Ugh.
Thank you.
Barbie was fun.
I did finish the movie though.
Now, Oppenheimer destroys Barbie, but I give Barbie the props.
Oppenheimer is completely different. It's like, it's cinema at its peak.
There we go.
Barbie, you go and you watch it and you reminisce your childhood. You won't reminisce about an atom bomb being made, right? So you go, you watch Barbie, you get happy, you leave, you go watch Oppenheimer, and you fall into an existential crisis. Like, why do we have weapons like this? So it's completely different spectrums.
There are definitely people that can...
I mean, it was easier for him to make a bomb than actually understanding a woman, so... For Robert Oppenheimer.
Very, very true.
Really?
J. Robert Oppenheimer, very interesting.
What a lad.
What a man.
What a man.
Don't know how to read. But yeah, with that being said, that's all the time we have left for this episode. Zara, I'd like to thank you so much for coming on. It's been a great pleasure having you.
Of course, thank you guys.
The amount of content we're going to make from this, influencers are going to cry over this.
I think more importantly though, the next step for us is... I believe, Farhan, you've got to go for training. Josh has to go home. I have to go to watch cricket, because that is me. So, yeah.
Skill issue. Okay.
Shush. Hey, skill issue for you. You're the one going for training. But yeah. Thank you so much to everyone. Please make sure that you guys like, subscribe, and leave a comment. Make sure to check out Zara's marketing agency, thesocialite.ae. We will be sure to mention that in the descriptions as well. And that is all we have for this episode of MDX Unplugged, Unfiltered, Unscripted University Life. Unscripted? No. Unscripted, yes. Unscripted University Life. Thank you and have an amazing day.
Bye, influencers.
See you soon.